Thank you so much for joining us today. We really hope God speaks to you through this message.
This morning, I have again the privilege and honor of sharing the word with you this morning on Good Friday. It's an honor and a privilege, truly. I preparing for this morning, I was just in awe of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen. Before I start, let me begin by praying. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this Good Friday. Thank you, Lord, that it is Easter weekend. Lord, that this weekend, Lord, we are reminded, Lord, of the good thing that happened 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray that this morning our hearts would be open to receive your word. Lord, anoint me this morning, Lord, that nothing be of self, but that your name would be glorified. I pray that the word that gets planted this morning, Lord, will flourish and grow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. This morning, before I begin as well, I wanted to announce this morning that my wife and I, we are expecting our fourth child. Amen. 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 thank you. It's such an exciting time. It's such a blessing to be a father, to be a husband. It's just an honor, again, like I've said. This comes with, you know, just a heart of gratitude and humbleness. Thank the Lord for my beautiful wife, for her, all the hard work that she does. Michael, my trainer, yesterday was telling me, make sure you honor your wife. Tell your wife that you love her, that she's beautiful. And I'm like, you know what? I do that every day. But I just want to tell you in front of everybody, thank you for everything that you do. It doesn't go unnoticed. You are beautiful every day. You get more prettier. And again, my children, thank you for being a helping hand. You guys are a blessing from the Lord. Amen. So this morning, the title that I have, if we can turn to the text in John chapter 19. And the title is Love That Stayed. And again, today we're stepping into one of the most sacred, one of the most powerful chapters in all of Scripture, which is John 19. And this is not just a story that was made up. This is not a parable. This is not something that was just made. This is history. This is proven history that actually happened. And this is the moment where love was put on display in the rawest form. Not a love that feels good, not a love that is convenient, but a love that stayed when it could have walked away. I want you to understand something before we go any further, that Jesus was not forced. They didn't make him do this. He was not overpowered. He was not tricked. He was not trapped. He chose this. Every step, every lash, every nail, he chose it for you. So today we're going to go through these verses in John chapter 19, and I want you to see these three things. The pressure that he endured, and the love he demonstrated, and the victory he secured. And by the end of the message, I don't want you to just be informed. I want you to be confronted by a decision, a crossroad with a decision to make. In John chapter 19, verses 1, it says to 3, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. In verse 1, it says that Pilate scourged. And let's not rush past that. This was a harsh beating. This was not a light beating. This was designed to tear the body apart. Whips were made with bones and metal, striking again and again. His back was shredded. His body was broken. Then they twisted a crown of thorns and they pressed it on his head. They didn't just place it, they pressed it. Blood was running down his face and they began to mock him, "Hail the King of the Jews." They slapped him, they laughed at him. And here's what gets me. He said nothing. No defense, no argument, no calling down on angels. Why? Because if he speaks to defend himself, he can't stay to save you. Sometimes love doesn't fight back because it is focused on something bigger and greater. In verse 4, it says, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you." I'm reading King James. Let's go back to New King James, because this is up there, New King James. "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Amen. Amen. It's playing in my head. Chapter 4, "Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him unto you, out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Pilate comes out and says, "I find no fault in him." Think about that. The political system, the legal system could not find guilt in Jesus, but yet the crowd shouts, "Crucify him." The only perfect man, the man without any sin, rejected by imperfect people. And this is the application. Don't be surprised when doing right doesn't always lead to acceptance. Sharing the gospel with some individuals may not always be easy. Sharing the love of Christ with your enemy may not be easy. Forgiving people that have hurt you may not be easy. Jesus did everything right and still got rejected. So if you're following God and people misunderstand you, you're in good company. In verse 7, it says, "The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? And Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. They said, the priest, that he claimed to be the Son of God. Now Pilate gets nervous. And he pulls Jesus aside and he says to him, Jesus tells him, you would have no power over me unless it was given to you from above. Catch this. Jesus is not under Pilate's authority. Pilate is under God's authority. You need to hear this. What looks like chaos, what looks like your world is going upside down, when things aren't adding up, when the math isn't mathing, when the bills are getting bigger, when the circumstances seem impossible, what I preached last Sunday, when the mountain seems too high, too big to climb. That's what chaos might look like. But it could be God's plan is unfolding. In verse 12, we read, from then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. Pilate tries to release him. But the crowd applies more pressure. They say, if you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend. So Pilate caves. He hands Jesus over. Pilate knew the truth, but he didn't have courage to stand in it. And here's the warning. Knowing the truth is not the same as standing in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. These are the moments in life when pressure will try to make you compromise. I love when Pastor Dave tells me, never compromise the gospel. Never compromise the Holy Spirit. Never compromise, because if you give a little bit of leaven to the bread, it grows. And the question is, will you stand or fold? Point number two is the love he demonstrated. In verse 17, it says, and he, carrying his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and the two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Jesus was carrying the cross. Jesus was carrying the instrument that was going to lead him to his death. Step by step, weak, bleeding, exhausted, but still moving forward. The cross was heavy, but your salvation was heavier. He chose to carry it. Yesterday morning, when I was with my friend Michael, he said to me that pondered me, that I can't stop thinking about. He said, what would you do if Jesus was right here, standing next to you in person? And when he said that, I remembered on my drive there, I was just in silence, and the thought came to my head that Jesus was here on earth only 20 centuries ago. It's not a long time. There's still water that has been around the same time. If you go back to Israel, the streets are still there. His tomb is still there, but it's empty. He chose to carry his cross. In verse 18, it says, where they crucified him and the two others with him and one on the other side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews." But he said, "I am the King of the Jews," Pilate answered. "What I have written, I have written." Pilate writes on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And they argue about it. They put up a fuss. But Pilate says, what I have written, I have written. Even in mockery, truth is declared. Jesus is king. Not will be. Not someday. He is king. Right there on the cross. In verse 23, it says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each a soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. The soldiers take his clothes and they divide it among them." They were gambling. They were playing around. And Jesus is dying. And they're gambling. You can be close to Jesus physically and still completely miss who he is spiritually. Like I said, Jesus was only here on earth 20 centuries ago. Don't just stand near the cross. Receive what he did on it. In verse 25, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his sister, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple who he loved standing by — that's pretty interesting how John said that he is the disciple who Jesus loved. I would say the same. I'm his favorite today. "And he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus sees his mother in the middle of his suffering, and he stops to take care of her. He says, "Woman, behold your son." Even on the cross, he's loving others. That's real love. Not based on feelings, not based on convenience, but sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. The victory is secured. In verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. I thirst." Jesus feels the weight of humanity. He becomes human. He is human. He's God in the human form. But he feels pain. He feels dryness. He feels weak. And he understands what it feels like to suffer. That's why when I tell you, when we tell you, when you know, Jesus knows exactly what you have been through, what you are going through, and what you will go through. Because he came down as human to experience what it is to be a human. And at this point, he was in pain. He said, "I'm thirsty, I thirst." He was dying. And in verse 29, it says, "Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on his hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." They lifted the sour wine to him, and he says, "It is finished." This is not the feat. This is victory. In the original language, it means paid in full. Your sin paid for. Your shame paid for. Your past paid for. Your pain, your miracles paid for. Your needs have been paid for. Then it says, he gave up his spirit. He gave it up. He wasn't taken. He gave. In verse 31, it says, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." When I was preparing for this, that verse caught my attention. You see, when they pierced his side, blood and water came out. So I did a little bit of research. I did a little bit of digging. And what I found is that there were some correlations between the story in Genesis of Eve and this. And what I found is that Eve was taken out of Adam's side. And Eve went to the tree of knowledge, which was made out of wood, and she took the fruit. But when Jesus went on the cross, the fruit went back to the wood. And what happened was when Jesus was pierced, water came out because scientifically speaking, there's a thing that they explained that when you are being crucified, there's fluid that gets built up around your heart area, like a water kind of solution. And when they pierced him, they could have hit that and water came out. But the blood and the water flow represents forgiveness and cleansing. Everything that you need today, that you will need tomorrow, that you will need, flows from Jesus. In verse 35, it says, "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken." And again, the scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." John says, "I saw this. I'm a witness of this." John is a real life witness. He's saying, "This is real. This is true. This is the truth." And then the burial. In verse 38, it says, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the blood, the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, and bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds, they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus stepped forward. They had been hidden, but now they went public. When Jesus was alive, they were quiet. But when he died, they showed up. Don't wait until it's easy to stand up for Jesus. I've said this before, we are living in a crazy time. This Bill C-9 is insane. I just heard last week that there was a basketball player in the NBA who said he stands up against the LGBTQ people idea in June, Pride Month. And he said, "I am a son of God. I don't accept that. I don't believe in that." Well, a few months ago, there was another NBA player who beat up his wife badly and threw pool table balls to the car as she drove away, and his kids were in the car, and he only got a 30-game suspension. But this individual who stood up against the Pride Month and said, I believe in Jesus, was released by the team. He has no team. As well, I heard in soccer, right now the World Cup is happening. I'm sure you guys have heard. In Europe, there was a team, I believe they were in Serbia. They were Orthodox Christians, and they put on the stands a big sign, and it said, by our faith, we will win. And then there's another team in one of the leagues in the Netherlands that had a picture of a demon and devils. But the team that had the saying, we will win by our faith, has been fined. I don't know how many euros, but it was hundreds of thousands. But this other team, not a peep. What I'm trying to say is, stand now. There is a reward. They wrapped him, laying in the tomb. It looked like the end. But we know Jesus rose from the dead. Sunday is coming. And with this, I'll close. Let me bring it all together. Let me all wrap it up. Jesus was beaten, but he stayed. Jesus was mocked, but he stayed. Jesus was nailed, but he stayed. Not because he had to, but because he loved you and me too much to leave. So here's the question. I want every eye closed, every head bowed. Here's the question. Here's your response. What will you do with Jesus? Not what you think about him, not what you've heard about him, but what will you do with him? If he stayed on the cross for you, will you stand for him? If he gave everything, will you give him your life? If you're here this morning, if you're here today on Good Friday, if you're watching online, and you've never fully surrendered to Jesus, this is your moment. You don't have to carry your sin anymore. You don't have to carry your past anymore, because Jesus said, it is finished. And if you've drifted away, if you want to come back, this is your opportunity. He didn't come down from the cross so you could come out of your sin. It is finished. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. If there's anybody here this morning that you want to fully surrender your life to Christ, come speak to me. Come see Pastor Joel. Come see one of the elders. This morning, Good Friday, could be that turning point of your life that could open up what God has intended for you and what this ultimate sacrifice on the cross for you can mean for you. This Sunday, we have Easter Sunday. We have 10 a.m. service, Easter Sunday. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, that it is finished. Lord, your mission, your assignment, Lord, was fulfilled on the cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Lord, we are here gathered this morning to give you thanks, to give you honor, to glorify your name. Lord, we are putting our schedule, our days, Lord, behind so that we can gather here this morning. Lord, I pray for each and every single individual here this morning, Lord, that our hearts would be transformed. Lord, that we would be on fire for you. Lord, because we are living in a time where we need to stand for the truth. We are living in a time where the truth will set us free. Lord, you said in the Bible that they hated you, so they're going to definitely come after us. But we're here, Lord, as warriors, as soldiers, for your kingdom to be advanced. Here in Niagara Falls, here in the Niagara region, here in Ontario, here in our nation of Canada, Canada shall be saved from coast to coast. Lord, I pray for ministries to explode. Lord, I pray that visions would come true, that prophecies would come true. Lord, and for this remainder of the year, 2026 has already been a year we will never forget, but it will continue to be a year that you will move powerfully like never seen before. That the word would be preached and signs and wonders would follow. Dear Lord, I pray that you would continue to watch over us. I pray a blessing upon each and every single person here this morning and our entire families. Lord, a shield of protection. I plead your precious blood over us and this entire church. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. 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 Thank you for coming. Have a good Friday, a good Friday. Enjoy your time with your family, with your friends. And let us remember, it is finished. There is victory come Sunday. Amen.
Hey, my name is Felix, and we really hope that message spoke to you. We have hundreds of sermons to check out from wherever you're listening. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you again. Peace.